The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
This morning I got here and I grabbed a bulletin so I would know what we were doing this morning. And the first thing that I noticed was the front of it, and it says that the mission moves forward. And I told Max, I said, you know, that's a great title on the bulletin this morning. And it's talking about the Annie Armstrong and the North American missions and all of that. But our text this morning, we see the mission moving forward as Paul is run out of a city and run out of another city and run to a different city. And then I got to listening to Miss Mandy. I'm like, man, Paul showed resilience as he was run out of town on multiple occasions. And that's what we're going to see in our text this morning. And then listening to that song, "This Rebel Heart Belongs to You." Paul's heart, after God got a hold of him, it belonged to him. And I wanted us to look at this passage of scripture this morning and to just consider the determination that we see here in sharing the Word of God, sharing the gospel, telling people about Jesus, and hopefully motivate us, you know, in the lives that we're living today, the things that God has called us to do, the place that He's given us to work, the school that He's given us to go to. He's given us people to talk to. And what are we going to talk to them about? We ought to find ways to talk to them about Jesus. So look with me this morning in Acts chapter number 17. Acts chapter 17. All right, we're going to look at verses 1 through 15, but the way that we're going to do it this morning, we're going to kind of work our way through the text instead of reading it all at one time. So Acts 17, verse number 1, is where we're going to begin reading this morning. Acts 17, verse number 1, it says, "And after they passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a Jewish synagogue. As usual, Paul went into the synagogue and on three Sabbath days reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and proving that it was necessary for the Messiah to suffer and rise from the dead. This Jesus I am proclaiming to you is the Messiah." We'll start with reading that much, but let's pray and then we'll continue this morning. Father God, we thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that we can see the example of the early church and, Father, their determination to take the good news of Jesus around the world. And, Father, I just ask that you would give us that same passion, that same resolve in our lives today as well. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so here we see Paul as he arrives here in Thessalonica, and it tells us that he did what he usually did. He said what was usual, where there's a Jewish synagogue, he went into the synagogue, and he explained to them who Jesus was and what Jesus had done. It's interesting, verse 2 there, that two words, "as usual." Paul had a method. He had a system. It wasn't as if he was wandering around the country, you know, going from city to city, you know, just randomly. Well, today we're going to try this. Today we're going to try something else. And you think about it, a person that's continuously run out of town, the way that we think a lot of times is say, man, we must have done something wrong. We're going to try it different next time. We're going to try something else. Well, no, what Paul was doing was what God wanted him to do. It was what God had called him to do. And he wasn't discouraged or he wasn't defeated by those that would cause opposition. He went and he did what was normal. He did what he usually did. He went in to the synagogue and he explained to them the scriptures, showing who Jesus was, that the Messiah must suffer and rise from the dead. And he's in the Jewish synagogue. He's among Jews. And he gets to the point to make that Jesus is the Messiah. That statement causes a decision to have to be made, because either they're going to hear that and believe, or they're going to hear that and say, no, that's blasphemy against God. His teaching was such that it was going to cause a strong reaction one way or the other. Verse 4, we continue there, says, some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, including a large number of God-fearing Greeks, as well as a number of the leading women. And so we see here that some of the people, upon hearing the gospel, they responded in faith, believing. And when we think about North American missions, or we think about international missions, or we just think about, hey, we're a church called to serve God in this community, and there's a lot of people that haven't heard about Jesus, there's a lot of people that need to know the gospel, it should be encouraging for us to recognize that where Jesus is proclaimed, there will be people that respond in faith. I think sometimes we fail to do what God would have us to do in sharing Jesus with our neighbors and with our friends and with people at work because, well, they might not like it. They might reject that message. They might be offended. Well, we're going to see in just a minute that people will sometimes get offended at the message of Jesus. But let's not worry so much about that. Let's recognize that where Jesus is proclaimed, some will believe. That's what we see here at Thessalonica. And if you compare the two cities we're going to be studying this morning, Thessalonica and Berea, typically you would say Thessalonica is the place that, you know, they rejected the message of Jesus and Berea is the place that accepted. But even in Thessalonica, there was a great number that believed. But you come to verse 5 and it says, but. That but changes a lot of things really quickly. Verse 5 says, but the Jews became jealous. And they brought together some wicked men from the marketplace. These wicked men, they were just known for causing trouble. I've heard people talk about this passage before, and they said you can think of them as thugs. I mean, they just had, you know, the ability to cause trouble. These wicked men formed a mob and started a riot in the city. Attacking Jason's house, they searched for them to bring them out to the public assembly. When they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city officials, shouting, these men who have turned the world upside down have come here too. And Jason has welcomed them. They are all acting contrary to Caesar's decrees, saying that there is another king, Jesus. The crowd and the city officials who heard these things were upset. After taking a security bond from Jason and the others, they released them. All right, so there were some that believed, but there were these Jews that became jealous. First, they rejected the teaching of who Jesus was and what Jesus had done. But it wasn't enough for them to say, okay, well, I'm not buying into all of that. I'm going to go home. I'm done listening to it. I'm done. It wasn't enough for them to simply not believe what Paul was teaching. But they became jealous, and then they wanted to cause trouble and ultimately keep others from being able to respond to what Paul was teaching. They wanted Paul's teaching to be stopped. And we see the same thing in our culture today. It seems very much if anybody, you know, says something that the mob, the group, the masses don't agree with, will quickly silence that. People don't like to be told things that they don't already agree with. If you agree with what the group thinks, then they want to hear you say what you say. But if you disagree with a group, you know, that group mentality very quickly is, no, we don't want to hear this. Stop. Be quiet. And they go and they get these wicked men from the marketplace to form a mob and to start a riot. The situation that they were under here, the city officials, they were most concerned with one thing, and that was keeping the peace. The city officials, they wanted peace. They didn't care so much about the theology of what was being taught, but a riot was not something they wanted to be dealing with in their city. And so what do? They get these wicked men to stir up the crowd, to start a riot. And they go trying to find Paul and Silas, and instead of being able to find them, they go to the person who's allowed them to stay at his house, and they bring Jason before the city officials. And they blamed the riot on Paul and Silas. They said, these men that have turned the world upside down, they've come here and they're doing it here too. And that turn the world upside down, you look at it, you say, man, they turned the world upside down with the message of Christ. That's a great thing. You know, they've caused an impact on a world that needs Jesus. Well, that's the way I would like to read it, but really saying they turned the world upside down, they're causing trouble everywhere they go. That's what the accusation was that was being made. They weren't praising Paul and Silas's ministry here with this accusation. They said they've turned the world upside down and come here too. The city officials, they were most concerned with keeping the peace. And so there's a bond given, you know, that Jason gives in order to ensure that there wouldn't be any further unrest. There wouldn't be any further riot. And so some believed, some didn't. There's a mob, there's a riot. Things escalated very quickly. And verse 10 is where we continue there. It says, as soon as it was night, the brothers and sisters sent Paul and Silas away to Berea. Upon arrival, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. The people here were of more noble character than those in Thessalonica, since they received the word with eagerness and examined the scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Consequently, many of them believed, including a number of the prominent Greek women as well as men. But when the Jews from Thessalonica found out that the word of God had been proclaimed by Paul at Berea, they came there too, agitating and upsetting the crowds. Then the brothers and sisters immediately sent Paul away to go to the coast, but Silas and Timothy stayed on there. Those who escorted Paul brought him as far as Athens, and after receiving instructions from Silas and Timothy to come to him as quickly as possible, they departed. And so they send Paul and Silas out of the city, away from Thessalonica and down to Berea. The message that Paul took to Berea was the same that he had taken to Thessalonica. He did the same thing. He wasn't defeated just because he was run out of town. And it tells us that the people there, they responded a little bit different than what you saw in Thessalonica. It says that they heard what Paul was saying. It says that they received the word with eagerness, and they examined the scriptures daily to see if those things were so. They weren't quick to just believe anything that they were told. It wasn't that some new teacher came to town and as soon as he started talking, they're like, hey, we like what he's saying. But they had a good heart attitude to begin with. They were eager to hear teachings from scripture, and then they examined scripture to test whether what Paul was telling them was true. They were teachable. They had a teachable spirit. And consequently, it tells us that many of them believed. Many of them responded in faith. You look at that, if you had just ended it right there in verse 12, you would say, hey, he had a difficult time in Thessalonica, but things went really good in Berea. Yes, until those in Thessalonica, those Jews, heard what was being done in Berea. And it wasn't enough for them to say, well, we got him out of our town, but they go and they start causing trouble in Berea as well. They wanted to keep the message that Paul was teaching from being heard. They wanted to keep people from coming to a knowledge of who Jesus was and accepting him as Savior. They wanted to stop the work that Paul and Silas were doing. There's a few observations that I want us to look at from these verses that we've read this morning. There were people in both of these cities that believed, yet there was opposition in both cities. You say, well, in Berea, the opposition came from out of town, but the opposition came to Berea as well because of the troublemakers in Thessalonica. The message of Christ, I mean, this is the early church. This is the first century. All the way to today, the message of Jesus usually causes people to respond in one of two ways, either in faith, believing, or they respond in opposition to what they've heard about Jesus. Few people hear and really understand what's being taught and presented about Jesus and about the gospel without having one of those two. Most people don't just say, well, it's not a big deal for me and move on, but it usually causes one response or the other. In our world today, many people do not just reject Jesus, but they live their lives in opposition to him. They don't want to be reminded about God. They don't want to be reminded about Scripture and what Scripture says. They don't want to be reminded about Jesus. People in our day living in opposition to God don't want to be reminded about sin. They don't want to be reminded that God has said, hey, this is the way you should live and this is the way you shouldn't live. People don't want to be confronted with the truths of God. So they don't even want to be confronted with the existence of God. Why is it that people want to say, hey, I don't believe in God? Because if they believe in God, then they have to believe what God has said about himself. Honestly, as I look at it, I don't think as many people are atheists as what claim to be. They just live in active opposition to the things of God. The other thing that I want us to make note of is that opposition does not stop the message of the gospel. People continued to serve God in both of these cities. After Paul and Silas left, the work continued in Thessalonica and in Berea. It didn't stop. Paul and Silas, they were forced to leave, but it didn't stop what God was doing through them. From Thessalonica, they went to Berea, and then from Berea to Athens. And when we think about these attempts that people made to stop the message of Jesus and to stop the spread of the gospel, it was like trying to stomp out a wildfire. You know, those fires that are raging, you see it sometimes on the news when there's wildfires raging out of control, and they talk about everything they're doing to combat the fires, but the fires just continue to spread. And that's what we see with the message of the gospel. Opposition does not stop the message of the gospel. If anything, I'd say it caused it to spread quicker, because Paul would have spent, I believe, more time in Thessalonica if the riot hadn't encouraged him to go on to Berea and then from there to Athens. God is in control. Sometimes when we face opposition, especially in doing things for God, Satan would like for us to say, well, we messed up, we thought about it wrong, we didn't do it right, you know, we failed. And God says, no, you didn't fail, just keep moving, keep going, keep doing what I've told you to do. That's the resilience that Miss Mandy was talking about in Children's Corner. Doing what God wants us to do doesn't mean things are always going to be easy, but opposition will not stop the message of the gospel. You can see that through history. You see that in, you know, our missionaries that have gone to foreign countries, and some of them face very difficult, dangerous events in their lives, yet they saw God do amazing things as they taught Jesus. This morning, as we wrap this up, I want us to consider a couple of things to make this personal and to really consider some application for our lives today. My question for you this morning after reading these 15 verses is, how do you receive the Word of God? You say, well, there's two options, Thessalonica and Berea. We all fall into Berea. We don't want to be the people going out and getting wicked guys to cause riots and mobs. So that's easy. How do we respond to hearing the Word of God? Like the Bereans, we aren't troublemakers, okay? So like the Bereans, let's consider that for a minute. Are you eager to hear the Word of God? You say, well, that should be easy. But you look at Christianity today, you look at believers and church members across our country, and many times in the busyness of our lives, we fail to make church a priority. Church ought to be a priority in the life of the believer. We ought to be eager to hear the Word of God. I said, hey, responding that we're like the Bereans is easy, but is it? Are we truly eager to hear the Word of God? Do we take time to study the Word of God at home? Do we take time to meet with other believers in a Bible study situation and study the Word of God and hear what God has to say? Also, as we think about the Bereans and their attitude towards Paul's teachings, are we skeptical of everything that we hear, or are we willing to accept anything that we're taught? Both of those, I would say, has some real dangers. You know, we can approach the teaching of God's Word skeptically, and we're closed off, we're not open to learning anything, and that is pointless study. And then we can be so willing to learn whatever we're taught that we just take a lot of bad information and try to make it all work, and it doesn't all fit, doesn't all work? Or do we do like those at Berea and say, hey, we're going to take it upon ourselves to study the Word of God, to study the Scriptures and examine, hey, so here's what I'm being taught. Is it what the Word of God truly says? The example that they had and how they received the Word of God. How do we receive the Word of God? As we think about their studying of the Scriptures, it wasn't an insult to Paul that the Bereans checked what he was teaching. Instead, it shows their seriousness. It shows that they were thoughtful in what they were hearing. The message that Paul proclaimed, and this was actually in my notes for point one at the very beginning, and I breezed right past it. But real quick, as we think about the message that Paul was proclaiming in Thessalonica and Berea, Athens, and you can look up the whole list of all the cities and all the places that he traveled teaching about Jesus, his message was ultimately the same. It was about Jesus. It was who he was and what he had done. Now, he can spend a lot of time, you know, writing about theology and doctrine, and you see that in the letters to the churches and Romans and all of that, but his method as he would go to cities wasn't to deal with all that stuff. It was to tell who Jesus was and what Jesus had done. That is the message that we are called to take to a lost and dying world. We can tell them a lot of truths about what Scripture has said. There's a lot of truth, but until they come to know Jesus, they're hopeless in applying all of those truths of the Word of God. Paul's message in every occasion was Jesus. Now, once they come to know Jesus, there was a lot more to learn. But the starting point is to know Jesus. Why do we talk about Jesus so much? As I was studying this, a song that kept coming to my mind, it says, "Deep in my heart, there is gladness. Jesus has saved me from sin. Praise to his name, what a Savior, cleansing without and within." Why do I sing about Jesus? Why is he precious to me? He is my Lord and my Savior. Dying, he set me free. It's all about Jesus. Yes, once we, you know, have people come to a saving knowledge of Christ, yeah, there's a lot of things we can tell them about life and godliness. But until then, the message this world needs, the message the lost person needs, you know, living right next door to you, is the message of Jesus, who he is and what he has done. I'm going to ask if you'd stand with me. We're going to pray and prepare for a time of invitation. Father God, we thank you for today, and we thank you for the example that we have of Paul and Silas and Timothy and these ones in the early church. And Father, I just ask that you would give us the same passion, the same boldness to continue, despite what the masses and the mobs and the people around us have to say, Father, that we would continue faithful to do what you've called us to do, not looking for a fight, but just, Father, willing to do whatever it is that you've called us to. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.